Okay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Tet Zayin, Tav Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. We had just grouped together Rabbi Eliezer's Shita and Rabbi Meir's Shita in terms of how they hold about mashkin, about liquids being metame other things. So we hold that on a deoraita level, we treat the liquid as tame. But regarding something that they are going to confer tumah to something else, we would treat that as tahor if we have a doubt, because it's only going to be on a derabbanan level. Now, just to avoid confusion, we'll address this later. But just to avoid confusion, it's certainly true that a liquid makes a solid susceptible to contract tumah. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when the liquid is bringing the tumah, meaning if a liquid comes in contact with a solid, that solid can now be susceptible to contract tumah from a different source. However, if there was no liquid on the solid, it would not be susceptible to contract tumah from a different source. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, can the liquid actually bring the tumah to a solid? Where we say only at the derabbanan level, so if you have a suffix, it's tahor. And we assume that Rabbi Eliezer agrees to Rabbi Meir's assessment of this. Wait one second. Rabbi Eliezer bichlal believes that that liquids are tame. Doesn't Rabbi Eliezer say explicitly in Braita that there is no tumah for liquids at all? Teda shereheid Yosi ben Yoezer ish treda al el kamsa dechan val mashkin beit mitpachya dechan. Right? And you should know that Yosi ben Yoezer ish treda said about a certain grasshopper, you know, it's kosher and it can be eaten, and all liquids that come out of a slaughterhouse are kosher, right? Meaning they're pure. They're not impure. We don't consider those liquids impure. Hani chalishmuel da amar dechan milamata tumar acherim. Dechan milatame tumar acherim. Aval tumar atzman yesh len shapu. El rav da amar dechan mamash ma'ik lamema. Well, okay, well, first of all, let's break down this Braita, right? Because the Braita works, actually, according to Shmuel, who holds that when he says that they're pure, what he means is they're pure in terms of their tuma conveyance to other things. However, they themselves are not pure. That's how he understands that's how he understands that statement. However, according to Rav, who says that they are completely pure, and they do not even convey impurity to anything else, what can you say? See, according to Rav, Rabbi Eliezer is completely in compliant with the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who ascribes tuma to liquids, because Rav holds that Rabbi Eliezer's understanding is that liquids have no tuma whatsoever, not even for themselves. Forget about giving them to something else. Right, so that, you know, he agrees with him on one thing that Rabbi Meir said, but not on everything that Rabbi Meir said, right? Because he agrees with him when it comes to if you have a suffix case of tuma, a suffix case of liquid tuma going to something else, that we treat it as tahor because it's suffix derabbanan lakula. That's what Rabbi Meir paskins, and Rabbi Eliezer would agree to that because, you know, he doesn't think that liquids are tamei at all. So he would agree with that statement. He just wouldn't agree that in the case that the liquid itself would be considered tahor. That would be considered tamei. Rabbi Eliezer would say the liquid itself would be considered tahor, right? So to say, he partially agrees with Rabbi Meir, but just not fully. V'akedivarav kamar. No, it says that he agreed with his statements. Kedivarav. That's plural. He agreed with the statements, not just one. Dinafishe, right? Meaning there's more than one. V'od v'chen katani, right? And furthermore, it says, and similarly, it was taught by Rabbi Eliezer, right? You can't say, and similarly, it was taught by Rabbi Eliezer. That wasn't taught by Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't agree. Gosh, yeah, that's the difficulty, according to Rav. Gufa, okay, so let's examine something we said earlier. Rav amar dechan mamash. Shmuel amar dechan milatame tumar acher. Aval tumar atzman yishlan. So Rav says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, really, there's no tumah by liquids whatsoever. According to Shmuel, it says no. There's no tumah. There's no ability for the liquid to make something else tameh, but it itself can be considered tameh. Rav Amar Dechan Mamashka Sava Tumat Mashkin De Rabbanan. V'chi Gaz Rabbanan Mamashkin De Alma. Mashkin Beit Matbachia Lo Gaz. So Rav's Svar is like this, right? The Tuma of liquids, Bichlal, the whole category of Tuma for liquids, that a liquid can be considered Tameh, that's the Rabbanan. And when the rabbis said that liquids should be considered tameh, that's in general, liquids should be considered tameh. However, they didn't make a gzeira about the liquids in the slaughterhouse because they're in the Beit HaMikdash, and they didn't make an additional gzeira. They're abundant on the Beit HaMikdash. That happens pretty often. Shmuel Amar Dechein Dechan Milatame Tumar Acher about Tumar Atzman Yeshlen. Right? And Shmuel Shita is that it can be considered. Tuma intrinsically tame, it just can't convey tuma to something else. Kasavar tuma mashkin atzman deoraita. Okay, so Shmuel clearly believes that the tuma of liquids is a deoraita level tuma. Latama acherim derabanan. However, liquids can only be metame other things on a derabanan level. V'chigazer rabanan mashkin de'al mashkin be'pachel lo gazer. And where the rabanan said that we should see liquids as though they metame other things. That was just in general in liquids. However, they didn't make the same gzeira when it came to the liquids in the slaughterhouse in the Beit HaMikdash. V'chi lo gazu rabbanan l'tamuya echerim v'al tumat atzman yesh lehen. Sorry, I shouldn't have read that as a question. Right, that was a statement. When Shmuel holds that when the Chachamim made a gzeira about when the Chachamim refrained from making a gzeira about the liquids in the slaughterhouse in the Beit HaMikdash, so all they said was that it can't convey that tuma to other things, but that liquid itself, though, should still be seen as tuma. Amar le Ravuna Barchina Levrei. Right? Huna Barchina said his son, ki ayalat lekame de Rav Papa Ramile mi Amar Shmuel dechan melatame tuma acherim val tuma atzman iyeshle karikan ma baser shei gar bechol tuma lo yechel. Right. So it says, when you come before Rav Papa, you should raise a contradiction between his understanding of Shmuel's statement and this and the following statement of Shmuel, right? Sorry, not a contradictory between two statements by Shmuel, rather this understanding of Shmuel and the following Torah principle, right? Because what is that principle? Habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh lo yachel. Right, flesh that touches anything impure cannot be eaten, which implies that anything that cannot be eaten, right, that anything that's tame and can't be eaten because of its tuma, and then touches something else, that something else is impure, right? So we see that anything that is itself impure conveys that impurity to something else. Right, and would stop you from eating it. However, something that itself cannot convey tuma to something else should be treated as though it itself is not impure either. Would be pure. So this Torah principle seems to indicate to us that things that are impure convey that impurity. Things that are not impure do not convey that impurity. That's fine for Rav's shita because Rav says there's no tuma there, so there's no conveying of tuma there. Shmuel, however, is of the opinion that there is tuma there, but he can't convey it. Where does he get that concept from? It seems that we have a Torah concept that if you have it, you convey it. Well, why don't we just treat it like something that is revi'i, a fourth degree of tuma, which doesn't convey tuma to anything else. Right? Well, revi'i lekodesh, something that was, four steps removed, it does not actually have a shame tuma, right? We don't actually call it tame. It's not, it may be puzzle on some level, but it's not actually called tame. That's why it doesn't convey. That's not a good source for Shmuel that there is something that is tame that doesn't convey its tuma, right? However, this is something we're talking about that is fully tuma, tame, that is fully considered tame, and it does not convey its tuma to something else. Kasha, that's a difficulty according to Shmuel's assessment. So we left off with one difficulty according to Rav's assessment and one difficulty according to Shmuel's assessment in terms of whether we treat this liquid as something that is not tame at all and therefore doesn't convey tuma, or as something that is tame at a derabanan level but doesn't convey its tuma to other things. Okay, Tashma. V'chol mashke sher yishte v'chol kli yitame. Ma yitame hechshir. Right? So we said that all Any drinks that can be drinked in a vessel should, can become impure. Well, that seems to imply that the mashke, the drink itself, is impure, right? Which is a support for the shita, for Shmuel's shita, that says that the drink itself can be impure on a deraita level. Then we answer by saying, no, what does it mean it will become impure? It means that it can machshir something, it can render something else susceptible to mekabel tumah. Hechsher mereisha dekra shamat le mikola ochel esher yochel. But no, the fact that the liquid can render something else, can cause something else to contract tuma, is learned from the beginning of the pasuk, right? From all the food that you'll eat that came in contact with liquid. That's what teaches you hechsher. Chad b'tlushin chad mechumarin. No, we need one of that. We need two sources for liquids making something else susceptible to contract tuma, because one is liquid in its natural source, like if it's from a spring, then it's still in the spring, and one is liquid that was removed from its natural source, that was gathered. But right? Is it really necessary? Yeah, it is necessary to have both these sources. Because you may have said that by water that was removed, you make it significant liquid because you removed it from its place for a need. You made it significant. Right? It was just like part of the land. It wasn't anything, significant. But you made it significant by taking it away. And that's why it can make something susceptible to contract tuma. But maybe I would say by water still in its source, that no. The e tanu mechubarin, if I only would have taught you water that was attached to its natural source, mishum de kaimi beduch daihu chashivit, aval tlushin imelo, tzrichi. You would have said that, water in its original place is significant. It's place the Kadosh Baruch Hu put it. It's the natural habitat of the water. That's simply significant. However, once you remove it from there, it's just it's water. It's just normal water. What is it, right? So maybe I would say in that case, no, it wouldn't render something susceptible to contract tuma. That's why I needed to teach you. That's why I needed two sources that water is machshir. But that's not to say that one of those sources was used to teach you the water itself to become tameh. Tashma ach. Ma'ayan uvor mikva ma'im yetahor. Right? So, only a spring or a natural, collection of water is going to be tahor. But, seemingly, all other bodies of water are what? Tameh. There. Liquid can be tameh. Ma yetahor mitumato. No, we're talking about those are the only bodies of water that a person who goes inside of them would be tahor. Right? Or that a person who goes inside of them, not that the water itself is tahor as opposed to all other waters, rather these are the waters that make you tahor. With lushin mimachshirin. Wait a second. Does water removed from its source really render something susceptible to contract tumah? If I'm a Rabbi Yossi Bar Bechanina, mashkin beit mikbachya, lo dayan jen dechan, ela she'ein machshirin. Right? That water in the, liquid in the slaughterhouse, they are pure, and they don't make anything susceptible to contract tuma. Water of the slaughterhouse, if it was put on a solid, on a food, that food cannot contract tuma because of the liquid from the slaughterhouse. Tirgama al-dam. Well, I'll say we're talking not about water there, but the blood of the slaughterhouse. Dam rabichia bar abba rabbi yochanan minayin ledam kajim sheino machshir. How do we know that the blood of hekdesh, of kodesh things, does not render something to be susceptible to tuma, as opposed to normal blood, which does. Shneimar ala aretz yishmechenu kamayim, right? Because it says about the blood that it's going to be poured like water onto the land. Dam shenishmechenu kamayim machshir, right? So the only type of blood that makes something susceptible to contract tuma is blood that is poured that spills out like water. Dam sheino nishmechenu kamayim eino machshir. However, blood that does not spill out and does not pour out like water is not going to render something susceptible to contract tuma. And when it cut with kachim, the dam doesn't spill out. You collect all the dam. You collect it in a kli. It's not spilling like water. So we know that dam kachim does not, the dam kachim, which is blood that is collected in a kli and not spilling out like water, doesn't render something susceptible to contract tuma. In which case, when we spoke about the liquids of the slaughterhouse, not making something susceptible to contract tumor. We're not talking about the water there and challenging the whole idea that water removed from its natural source doesn't render something susceptible to contract tumor. We're only talking about the blood there. And we're just teaching something we already knew. Matki flower of Shmuel bar Ami. Hare dam hatamti dinishbach kemayim veino machshir. But wait, there is this case of dam hatamti, the squeezed out blood of the animal that doesn't just flow out naturally when you slaughter it, that it does pour out like water. Ve'eno machshir, and it yet does not render things acceptable to contract tuma. Amalei Rabbi Zeira, hanach dam tamtzit, afilu b'chulin namin lo machshir. You can't use dam tamtzit as an example, right? Because dam tamtzit is a wild exception. Even dam tamtzit by non-kodshim, it doesn't render things acceptable to contract tuma, right? If you slaughter an animal, not for kodshim, you shecht an animal, you want to eat, and then you squeeze out the additional blood. That blood is not the dam of kodshim, right? And still, it doesn't render something susceptible to contract tuma, right? Meaning, up until now, with regard to the normal blood, we were only talking about dam kodshim as the dam that doesn't render something susceptible to contract tuma, right? But this is a clear exception, because that's even true by chulin. Kavu mine Rav Shmuel Bar Ami. Rav Shmuel Bar Ami accepted the statement. The Amar Rachmana and says and taught as follows. We can see us from that which the Torah says. Rak chazak levilti echol hadam ki adam hu anefesh. Right, that you must refrain from eating the blood of the animal because the blood is the soul. Dam janefesh yotzebo karui dam. So we see that blood that the soul departs through, that's called blood. Dam she'enu nefesh yotze po enu koredam. But dam that the nefesh does not leave through, that's not called blood. So if we're talking about the blood that doesn't flow out of the animal when it's slaughtered, rather the type that you squeeze out of the animal long after it's dead, that is not going to be even considered dam. And that's why a dam tamtzit, even a chulin, is not going to render something susceptible to contract tuma, because we don't really consider it dam on a deoraita level that would render something acceptable to contract tuma like other blood could. Tashima. Dam shenitma u zirako. So we still don't know whether liquids are render something, whether liquids can be considered tame. Dam shenitma u zirako, right? So blood that became tame and you put it on the mizbeach. Bishogig hurza. If you did so, you didn't realize it became tame. You did it bishogig, right? Well, then the korban still worked. What you did still worked. Bimezid lo hurza. However, if you intentionally put blood that was tame on the mizbeach, then it doesn't work, right? Midirabana. Udlok Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer ish tzureta. Right, so you know what we try to say here is, you know, clearly blood can be considered impure. No, because that's what we're talking about. Dam shenitma, right? Blood became impure, and then we responded here is that no, we're talking about blood that is impure on a rabbinic level, right? And not like Rabbi Yosi Shita, who holds that even on a rabbinic level, there's no tuma for blood, right? Not according to Rabbi Yossi's statement, not according to Rav's understanding of Rabbi Yossi's statement, that blood cannot even become tame on a derabanan level. Here we're talking about blood that is tame on a derabanan level, but certainly not blood that's tame on a deraita level, because still we believe that liquids cannot be contract tuma on a derabanan level. Tashima, alma hatzitz meratze. Okay, we were told that the, you know, forehead plate of the Kohen Gadol atones for certain things with no additional action required. Adam v'labasar v'achela shenitma. Okay, well, if the blood of the korban or the flesh of the korban or the fat of the korban become tameh, ben shogeg ben b'mezid, whether it became tameh unintentionally or intentionally, ben monot ben baratzon, whether completely beyond your control or in your control, ben b'yachid ben tzibor, whether it's for an individual or for a tzibor, the forehead plate for Aaron is atones, or the, you know, for the Kohen Gadol, atones for this transgression. Clearly, that implies that the blood can become tamei. Midirbanan udlok Yossi ben Yoezer ish tereda. No, we mean that if the blood becomes tamei, dirbanan, right, it atones. Tashma v'nas Aaron etavon hakodesh. But wait a second, the Torah itself says that Aaron is going to bear the transgressions committed against kodeshim. Cheze avon hu noseh. Now, what transgression is he talking about? Avon pigul harek var nemar lo yiratze. Right? If you're talking about the transgression of pigul, improper intentions, we already said that doesn't work. So what does it mean that Aaron bears it, but it still works? Pigul doesn't work. Im avon notar harek var nemar lo yichashiv. And if you want to say it's, you know, the notar left for, you know, an additional period of time, korban that was left too long, that also, you know, is not going to be is not going to work for the person who brought it. Ha inonose elavon tumat shehutra miklal betzibur. My love to madam. Rather, he's only atoning for what? Atoning for something that became tameh that we are still allowed to use because everyone in the congregation is tameh. Now, are we not talking about the dam that became tameh? Right? In which case, that's a Torah source for blood, which can become tameh. Amar Papa, lo tumat kimatzim. Says no, we're talking about the tuma, about tameh hands that take the flour for the mincha offerings. There, we say that that's still kosher, and the tzitzis maratze, Aaron's forehead plate, serves as an atonement for it. Tashma, okay, another proof. Hein yisa ish basar kodesh bichnaf bigdo v'negav bichanfo el halechem vel hanazid vel hayayin vel shemen vel kol machal hayikdash v'yanu hakohanim v'yomru lo. Right? So Gemara cites the following proof, right? That it says that if a person, you know, comes in contact with flesh in the side of his garment, the side of his cloak, and then that cloak touches bread, or it touches, a cooked dish, a liquidy dish, or wine, or oil, or any food, is it still going to be considered kodesh? And the Kohanim answered that no, it's not going to be considered kodesh. Why would it not be considered kodesh? Well, because it came in contact with something in tameh. Oh, but it's liquid. So we see that, you know, maybe it seems that liquid can contract tumah. V'amar Rav, and says Rav, ishtabush kan, the Kohanim made a mistake there. It would actually contract tumah. Midehu ta'ama ela l'rav. Seemingly, from this pasuk, it seems to indicate that liquids can become tameh. And Rav has to say that the Kohanim made a mistake. And, what we say is, well, really, it's only a difficulty for Rav. Rav, mashke beit mitbachya tane, aval mashke beit mitbachya, mashke beit mitbachya tane, aval mashke bei madbichaya mitame. Right? So, even Rav agrees that when it comes to other liquids in other parts of the Beit HaMikdash, they can become tame. All he ever said, according to Yossi ben Yoezer, was that the liquids of the slaughterhouse can't become tameh, right? So, you know, you can ask, well, why does Rav here say the Kohanim were mistaken, and there he said, you know, and yet if he holds elsewhere that the other types of liquid around the Beit HaMikdash were, sorry, if here he says, well, the Kohanim must have been mistaken because liquids, you know, can't be metameh, but elsewhere, he says that, no, liquids can be metameh. We're only talking about the liquids of the slaughterhouse that aren't metameh. Then you can ask, you know, on the contradiction between Rav's statements. However, it's not a really fundamental problem for Rav. It's not actually a fundamental problem for Rav, you know, challenging his shita that liquids can't become tameh, because he agrees that liquids can become tameh. He was talking about specific liquids, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, that couldn't become tameh. Okay, we're going to stop here.